Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another jam-packed episode of Wrestling and Whatever. I'm Mikey Dangerously, and with me, as always, the realtor from the East Litter, Mr. Jay Glow. Jay Glow, how you doing?
Ola, 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 ola.
Wait a minute. I didn't know I had a seal here.
Is this Titus O'Neil?
I thought that was just a seal.
Mikey, I am living life. Not living large, but I'm living in moderately sized below the waistline.
Nice.
And, man, there's a lot of fucking shit going on in wrestling. But first off, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. You know, before we get into the wrestling world, which there's a lot to talk about and we can speculate, and that's what this whole show is about, wrestling and whatever, plus speculation. But, you know, and two old white men that just like to sit on their toilet and bitch about shit
and kiss
but honestly, before we get into the wrestling side, I've been playing this game. I think I've been telling you a little bit about it and people on the air about it.
Yeah,
this is Wrestling Revolution, better known as Wrestling Empire, for the Nintendo Switch. And the thing I like about the Nintendo Switch, and I'm hoping we have at least a few gamers that listen to this podcast so they can be like enjoying of this conversation, is that like you could just pick that up and take it with you wherever the hell you go. Like, that's what I really like about it. The ease of being done for the night, going up into bed, and before you fall asleep, rather than watching some television, you pop on the Switch, play some games. And I've been really, really hooked with the Wrestling Empire game. I was telling folks about it before, about the start of it, doing your career mode, and it's like a better version of anything that 2K has ever done with wrestling as of late. So any of those WWE games. I don't know how the AEW game is supposed to go. I'm looking forward to that, because if you remember the old, not old, quote unquote, the All-Stars game, that engine, that's what the new AEW game is going to have. It's going to have that All-Stars engine type vibe, which I think is Unreal, but I'm not entirely sure if it's the Unreal Engine or not.
I thought they were going for the old school WCW versus NWO Revenge, or the WCW Monday Nitro game.
That would have been that would be interesting, the nostalgia of not having to worry too much about on the graphics, but then you could kind of go like off of it. But that's what the AEW show the game that I'm playing now, the Wrestling Empire, yeah, it's definitely those graphics like you said.
Do you remember the old Monday Nitro where it doesn't matter who the fuck was in the ring, it was always Hulk Hogan every time you pinned him? I kicked out.
Yeah,
every time. I remember thinking to myself, Hulk Hogan's not even in this match.
I kicked out. But yeah, it's something how we all, like when we were starting watching or starting to play games, we'd be like, wow, look how great these graphics are. And like back then in the PlayStation 1 era and the N64 era, they were shit. Like you'd look at them, and now if I looked at them, I'd get fucking migraines. But now, like, it's kind of come full circle, because this game that I'm playing right now has the shitty graphics, but it has a very in-depth game engine, in that you can go on a career with a wrestler, and that one basically is you just see how long you can go with the amount of money, like from different promotions, and then like there's different scenarios that might come into play, and you have to like figure out if you want to be more agreeable to, like, if a promoter's saying, hey, I don't like the way you're wrestling, do you mind changing your striking style? And you're like, yeah, sure. Or, you know, we figured out a new finisher for you. You know, here's a new gear if you want to, like, you know, look like this guy from another promotion. And you're like, yeah, okay. But you have the option to agree or disagree. And then depending on how your contract goes that you've made previously, that kind of gives you the opportunity to either, like, be okay to make those decisions and say, no, I don't want to change my gear. Or, you know, we hired you, you're our puppet, you know, play to the master's orders, that type of deal. So that's the career side. Now, the booking side takes the same career mode that you could be playing, or you could start a new one. They're unfortunately connected. I didn't know that at the time, but I'm, you know, getting used to it and figuring it out. I think I'd play the next time I'd like reset, because you could reset like the whole thing to start over again. Doesn't like take away your progress, but if you wanted to start on a clean slate, you could reset the whole like career mode, and then you can start fresh with your booking and all that shit.
Okay.
But now in booker mode, you pick whoever you want, and then they are the GM. There's still a guy who you took the job over from, and they're kind of overseeing your dealings and like, you know, oh, you know, we want so-and-so to be the head of the company in like the third week of December or something. So you kind of have to build it up that way. In addition to juggling what the company might want, you also have to juggle what the country you're in might want. I think we were discussing about this earlier before we got on the air. It kind of reminds me of Risk when you try to go and like you have an opportunity to fly to different continents, and then either you could take over a different territory, or you could just try to compete in there and try to get your views up as well as you can for your show. So it's really like there's a lot of different aspects in it. I'm still getting the hang of it. There's a lot of online reading material that you could always go to for resources to at least figure out like, okay, what does this symbol mean? You know, like what does this star rating mean and all this shit.
Right.
And it's available for you. The guy's name is Matt Dickey, but it's M Dickey on Twitter. And he actually has a pinned post of like a instruction manual type thing on how to like work with it. So it's really cool.
I was looking at his stuff on Twitter, cause I know you shared a few of his things. So I was looking at a bunch of stuff, and you actually came over the one day and we were playing it. And it's just, it's funny though, cause it kind of gives you that nostalgia feeling that you're playing like back in the 90s when we used to play, you know, all those different types of PlayStation games and Nintendo 64. But it's what it feels like, and agree and disagree or agree with me, but it kind of gives you that feel like when we used to play those SmackDown versus SmackDown Know Your Roles.
Dude, my fondest memories are when they had that SmackDown, I think it was Shut Your Mouth or whatever, with that season mode where you can kind of share it. Like you could do like four players, two players. Mm-hmm. And like we made our own faction, and like we kind of went on the road with it. I think it was it Paul Bearer and Pat Patterson, or
it was an awkward couple. Yes. But the thing with this game, from what it seems like, is that you could that what we used to do back in the day before they implemented it in like the software that you could do these types of things. It's like we kind of did our own thing and made our own storylines, and this gives you the ability to do so, which is.
Yeah, as the booker, you can, like I was telling you about this earlier. Now, there's no, like, trademark names. You just kind of have to figure out who it is based off of, like, the person's name. Or, again, if you look at Matt Dickey's, even his, he has a Wikipedia, they tell you, like, you know, who's this wrestler supposed to be? Like, Alpha Male is supposed to be your man from AEW. The big cheese there, the big four belt holder there.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, why don't you give him his name, please?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What was his name? The belt holder.
The big guy. The guy that held all the belts in eight. Who's holding them currently.
In eight. Kenny Omega.
Exactly. So, see, Alpha Male. Get it. And so what I basically did right now, and I was actually texted you like earlier today because I was playing a little bit, is this is such a weird combination. But I have the Dudley Boys. Weren't the Dudley Boys, but they're the Dudley Boys on my promotion. And I teamed them up with a manager, Paul Bearer. Now, I know that sounds weird, but I feel like that's like a an interesting combination. Like, I don't know. It feels like they mesh really well. And you could get them to like you could do matches where it's like a handicap match. So it'd be like a 3-on-2. And because you have the manager there and shit like that. And the manager's like abilities are he's not as strong as the wrestlers. So. You know, it's just like cool little things like that. And then, like you said, you can play scenarios out on your head how you want like the match to go. And that kind of helps build up the star ratings, which eventually will help you build with the tape trading or broadcasting your show into the stratosphere for them to either like it or dislike it, depending. But yeah, it's really fun. I enjoy it. And I, you know, encourage anybody who has a Nintendo Switch. It's $20. It's literally it should be like a $70 game. But you're getting a good deal. Again, graphics subpar, but the engine of what you can do is phenomenal. Like you could, again, not to get too much into it, injure wrestlers if you wanted to, you could kill them. You know, like it's cool. I think that shit's kind of cool. Like, you know what I mean? If you had a vendetta on some certain sassafras, if they're refereeing that match that day, you could just keep throwing them out of the ring, and eventually they hurt themselves, and you're like, oh, no. And then eventually you find out that they weren't being able to resuscitate it alive on the scene. I mean, they'll finish the match, but then it isn't until after the match that you get newspaper clippings that tell you, you know, so-and-so wasn't able to be awoken on their day, you know, from their bed the next day. And, you know,
jeeps. It's kind of like, it's kind of like I said, it's like how you would try to make up stories like, oh, mm-hmm. well,
exactly.
I have, it, it's, you know, using some sort of, trying to think of the word here, not ingenuity, but I guess.
I would say like being creative or just imagination.
There you go.
Just letting that fill in the parts of what you're trying to, you know, make. But yeah, it's fun. And if I get going good, I'll try to maybe like put some notes together of like how my promotion ran thus far and shit like that. Now, you can't change the names or anything like that, but you can change the way the ring is for that certain event and shit like that. So you could have all your matches take place in the cage. You could have no ring. You could have barbed wire, exploding barbed wire, all that shit. And then like if you set that for the first match, it'll stay for the next. So if you want to continue to have the barbed wire, you know, ropes, you could do that. If you decide, oh, I was just doing that for the one match because I had to get it over, you move on to the next thing. It's really, really cool. But enough talking about Vigi Games, because we could do that pretty much the whole fucking day if we really wanted.
We could do it for 24 hours.
I want to talk about wrestling, man. That's what everybody tuned in for, was the actual wrestling, the actual bombshells that have been dropped. Right. Recently, with AEW signing two major people that I thought this was all just a rumor. I thought it was all fluff. I thought it was like, yeah, whatever. You know, what are you going to do? This turns out to be true. The AEW is signing not only one major star, but two. And like, it's unprecedented that these people are done working for the WWE and they're going to go to AEW. Now, I don't think that's a slap in Vince's face whatsoever. I honestly, maybe for the ones it might be, because he might be just fed up. But for the other guy, I just think he really wants to enjoy it. He really wants to just embrace like having these matches with these different wrestlers and having this feel with this different audience. The two wrestlers that I'm talking about are CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, who I think is going to go by Bryan Danielson, which was his original name anyway. So it's like, how the hell, first of all, how the hell did this happen? And second of all, what the hell do you do with them? Like, Jay Glow, you could answer either one of those questions first, but like, it's nuts.
So first off, I was very, I thought, like you said, I thought it was a ruse. And then I looked online. I'm like, well, this is, it's actually, I said, I remember sharing it on our wrestling or whatever Facebook page. I said, take this as however you want to take it, but look at this signing. Like, this is a potential signing that, I mean, it's always been rumored, but my question is, why didn't they keep it under wraps? Because we know what wrestling is missing nowadays. It's missing that surprise element. Yeah. Like EB himself would say, and if anyone does know who EB is, that's Eric Bischoff. But the surprise element is what makes wrestling, it like want you to feed in and go back and, you know, always come back to, okay, what are they going to do next? But to think you have CM Punk, which you know they're having, I believe it's All in Chicago. That's where he's going to show up. And do you think that they did this because of a ticket sales type of thing? Because from what I've read is that since they've announced anything about CM Punk, the ticket sales for All In immediately sold out.
Wow.
So do you wait? I think personally, I would have waited. I wouldn't have said a damn word. I think they should have had him come in. Show up just like how CM Punk showed up on WWE backstage when that was a thing. And like everyone was completely shocked. Social media blew up.
Right.
So the thing that I want to make a note of is I think Daniel Bryan, the reason why he's not, and any other wrestler that's on contract with WWE and then they don't renew it to go to AEW, they're really going for one reason only, and not just because of wrestling to wrestle, but because they want that control in their creative. Like they like to give their they hate, like, perfect example, Dean Ambrose, who is now John Moxley. I mean, that's his real name, at least I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like the guy wanted, he didn't want to be doing his gimmick and all that other different types of garbage at WWE. He wanted his freedom in saying what he could do and what he could say. And man, I think that's one way AEW flourishes. They flourish because they give these guys control of freedom, freedom in their creative enough so that it's going to be moderated a little bit, but these guys know what they're doing. You don't have Disco Inferno there, or Alex Wright, or all these other like B plus, A minus type of wrestlers that are running the whole show themselves. They have people that are running and giving, saying, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to set this up for next pay-per-view. They run it past Tony Khan, yada, yada, yada. The bisque was good. Mm-hmm. And they do their own thing. But I think with having somebody a high caliber, in my opinion, like Daniel Bryan, still in good age, he's going to be wrestling for another 10, 15 years.
Right.
And same thing with Punk. I think it's wrestling is going to get so much better, especially when you have CM Punk in there, man. I mean, what else could we say about the man? Like, he literally, by himself, made WWE watchable when it was unwatchable like it is now.
No, and you're absolutely right. Just to have somebody that has that confidence on the mic, you can just give them the microphone and say, go out there and do whatever the hell you want. But I like going back to the two questions I posed, which, you know, it just, these are two huge wrestlers. Like, these are huge stars. You know what I mean? Like, you would know if you said Daniel Bryan and if you said CM Punk, dare I say, that's like saying The Rock. That's like saying Hulk Hogan. That's like saying Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
So they have them now. What do they do with them? That's the question. I don't even know. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, does CM Punk come in, and if you're going to eventually make the guy a face, do you have him come in as a heel and just rip all the fucking neckbeards apart?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Daniel Bryan, what do you do with him? Do you have him come in, and you just have him fucking wrestle and be right, like, this is how it's done.
I think they're going to go back to their old Ring of Honor roots. Okay. They're going to do it that way. I think CM Punk, like you said, I think I agree with you. I think he's coming through as a heel. I think he's immediately going to go for the belt. Or something along those lines. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. I mean, there's...
And then now, does the trajectory change? Like, yeah, oh, that's great. We have alpha male, if you will. You know, and he has all the belts, and we love it. But, oh, shit, we got fucking CM Punk. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you got to do it for a little bit. We get it. You got to hold all your belts and all your different companies. I get it. Give CM Punk the belt. You know what I mean? Like, is that what you do?
Personally?
Yeah.
Personally, I think that this is going to set up, and I think we're going to see it. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see a solid triple threat match at, I think, the pay-per-view after this one. That's a big one, is Revolution after All In. I think you're going to see CM Punk versus Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, if it's not a triple threat, they're going to do a 1v1, and it's going to be spectacular. Like,
right.
Anybody that's a wrestling fan that took a break from it, cause it sucks.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Please. Yeah, definitely. Because then at least it's going to, like, you're going to be like, oh, okay. This is what it was supposed to be like. Like, this is hints of the Austin Rock feud. You know what I mean? Like, just to get that. I mean, like, now they don't have to go all in Attitude Era if they don't want to.
No.
But, like, man, they could make it. They could make it the Now Attitude. Or the Now Era, I guess. You know what I mean? They could just make it 21st Century Digital Girl, or however that song goes.
Yeah.
But, like, it could really work out in their favor. And that's great, because then now AEW doesn't have to be compared to the WWE anymore, which is their detriment. It's that, yeah, this is AEW, but look what these guys are doing over here. And you kind of do that for every wrestling promotion.
Right.
I don't think that's fair, because WWE has its strengths. AEW has its strengths. Ring of Honor has its strengths. Impact is there. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just goes, you know, like.
It's a revolving door.
Exactly. So, and like, that, you know, it is what it is.
Which is best for the wrestlers right now, because there's so much talent out there and so much more being created that everyone needs a revolving door to keep themselves fresh. That's why, like, back in the day with the territories, people absolutely, they live. That's how they lived until Vince bought everything out and he was the only one to go to.
Do you recall, even from secondhand listening to interviews, documentaries, and things like that, wrestlers, like how they are now, they feel like they get burnt out. Do you recall that ever happening back then? in the 80s and the 90s where like they didn't want to come to work because they were just like, I don't know what the fuck they're going to want to do.
No, it was totally different from yeah. just from what I've seen. Because, I mean, let's be honest, everyone nowadays, everyone's just, and I hate to say this and sound like a boomer, but everyone's just a bunch of pussies when it comes down to nowadays. Yeah. No one wants to do this. No one wants to do that. The thing, too, is a lot of people, and I don't have the numbers to back my statement up here. But
So you're doing a Fox News, some people say?
Yeah, I'm doing a Fox News CNN here. Okay. But it's like the majority, I'm not sure if a lot of the guys that are in the business right now have a family or kids. Right. It seems like a lot are just, you know, on their own, and they're just doing what they're doing. Everyone wants to be the top person, which is great to know, but no one knows their place.
You're absolutely right. I feel like when you were in the 90s and, like, listening to Godfather, like, when he had that interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, I believe he said he knew he wasn't going to be, like, world champ. But where he was and with the gimmick he ran with, he knew he could have fun in that division that he was in that bracket. You know what I mean? And Vince paid him well. So, I mean, like, if you're getting paid well, then maybe take a few more bumps and like, hang back. And then, like, eventually, if your time is to come up, then, you know, come up. You have a good story when you think about it, like with Kofi Kingston.
Right.
Because he was a mid-carder. And then you had that surprise where he got up there. But, like, if Kofi was there right out of the gate, that moment of him saying, I, you know, 14 years and blah, blah, blah. But then also, where do you cut the line here? Are you going to have, in a few years, are you going to have fucking R-Truth say the same thing?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Maybe. But, like, you know what I mean? Like you said, you got to know your place. And
You need to know your place.
Kofi Kingston. I said R-Truth. Well, okay, what about, like, Otis? And Chad Gable, you know what I mean? Like, are those?
With wrestling, and Chris Jericho said it best in his interview: when you have the TV time, when you have the time allotted, you have to make the most out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it seems like a lot of these guys that have the time, they're one, given the time when they're not ready, and two, they're not making the most out of it. They're just there.
I feel like there is a lot of wrestlers where they get embarrassed because of certain situations they may have gotten themselves put into through, like, creative and shit like that. If I was getting paid and I had that Chris Jericho mindset, right, and say, like, I'm never going to be a wrestler, okay, but let's say, like, the best I could get into when I'm a wrestler is maybe a manager, maybe an announcer. If they wanted to throw a piece of creative at me, not, like, stupid, gawky, like, dance rap battle type thing, but say, like, you're gonna get your ass kicked and we're gonna bust you open and we're gonna tar and feather you, I'm like, yeah, I don't find that embarrassing. If anything, like, you're giving me the opportunity to put myself on television and, like, play this character, you know, I'm gonna do it,
right?
But I think where it differs is, yeah, you know, getting your ass kicked, that there's a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers don't want to take that L, and it's like, yeah. But, you know, like, if it's going to progress something, it might go somewhere better down the line, and just have, like, you know, have, like, an idea of where you are in the company. Like you said, know your place. And then, like, you keep doing it. Eventually people are going to get behind you and be like, okay, they've got a good personality. I like what they're doing with this person. Let's just keep going with it and see, you know, see what happens.
And it just seems like nobody knows how to ad lib anymore.
No. And, like, you know, like, there was that one video. I can't remember which one it was, but we were watching it. And, like, I really want to see these Vince McMahon classes that he held in that whatever year span that was. I don't know if that was a couple years. I don't know if that was a couple months. But he had that where they had that video of him, like, just having these classes. I don't know if they were improv classes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was with The Miz. That's what it was. It was that documentary with The Miz, and, like, they had cameras. I want to know what happened. Like, I want to know what that was for. I want to know, like, how the wrestlers did and stuff like that. Because
they did horribly.
but it would just be interesting to see what they are trying to throw at the wrestlers. Right. When I think if you're going to give them improv or ad lib, I think you need that. Going to throw this out here. This is a name that nobody else in this podcast world would ever know, but, like, that Mrs. Fair type class where, like, you know what I mean? You throw them in there,
yeah,
and just ad lib, just go and then
I used to love that.
Yeah, then you have fun with it. It's yes and, it's never no. You know what I mean? I think you get any of those wrestlers up there now on either program and they're not gonna know how to ad lib. They're gonna be like, and it just like
you stink.
Exactly. You need like a I don't know, you need that golden tongue like a Bobby Heenan, like a The Rock, like, you know what I mean? Someone that could just go like your favorite video you keep going back to when they ad libbed when it was The Rock and Triple H.
Oh my
gosh,
so funny.
Like that was recent. But like those two guys, like, right? What year was that?
I think that was when he just came back. It was like 2015,
okay,
maybe.
Okay. So recent. So like those two guys, you know, those two guys can go riff one off of each other.
It was entertaining. This is the thing. This is one thing that they do that we're waiting to see that golden boy that could actually do this. And I want to just speak here for a minute.
It's not the cringe comedy. It's
it's like, oh my God, like that. That's funny how they did that and how they keep going back and forth with each other. You need somebody that Vince could say, hey, I'm going to give you this can of pre-workout or something out there. Do something with it in your hand, or we're going to have you go out there and do this. Just, you know, ad lib, do whatever you can. It seems like a lot of the guys that are being told what to do now, they're like, you're in that classroom, Mikey. And I'll just explain it. We're in a classroom of, let's say it's 10 wrestlers. 10 wrestlers, all very talented in the ring, can really move, can fly, can do all this other different types of stuff. But they're there just to get their 80s, their 85s in the grade-wise.
Yeah.
And they're just there to just be there and collect the paycheck and, you know, do what they're asked to do. No one's going in there and saying, okay, guys, today, so, John, we're going to have you go up there and you're going to call out so-and-so. And just call him out and then set up something for No Way Out. We're going to do that. And all right, now, Alex, we're going to have you go out there and we're going to have you with a scooter or something, or we're going to do this. Okay, cool. Okay, so we're split up, guys. You guys know what you're doing. You know your spots tonight. All right, let's give it hell. Go out there. No one's saying, hey, Alex, I know you're calling me out and this and that, but why don't we do it something different? Like, you never hear that. Like, I never read about that. You never see it happen where if nothing's spontaneous, nothing's ad-libbed, it just seems like it's all choreographed, talked about, and then, okay, make sure you hit this spot, that spot. Okay, cool. Then we'll come back here, and then we'll jump on the Xbox and play until everyone leaves and we have to take the ring down, and then we'll go. It's like, it just seems like that's how it is nowadays, where back in the day, I mean, hell, Mike, you've seen the videos of the Taker Rooney and the Vince Rooney when it was like Raw was off the air and Booker T came outside and they were trying to break Undertaker.
They don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? The show ends and it's like, all right, we're going home. It's, you know, thanks for being here. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, they have a massive schedule that they have to go be here, be there. But I mean, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah.
When they're having fun out there and they're being themselves and they're being witty, there's a little bit of comedy, a good wrestling, a little bit of comedy. That's what makes wrestling fun to watch. We have fun watching those guys have fun. If you have a fantastic personality like The Rock, like Stone Cold, like Triple H, like Taker, like all those guys, dude, Booker T, Goldust, even Batista, Cena, I hated him. But I mean, I'm glad to see Cena back because he's going to bring something back with it. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
yeah, because Cena is one of the few wrestlers, which I can name off the top, you know, like currently that you could definitely say, this is what you're here for. Go out there. If the crowd takes it one way, do it. But you know, you'll like, they don't even have to say that.
Plays with the crowd as well. Exactly. Can feel the crowd out.
You know, like the first, and it pisses me off. The first night, right? The fans come back. SmackDown. Who do you have doing the ring announcements? Greg Hamilton. The following contest is scheduled for one fall. You couldn't even give the fans that. You couldn't even give them that stupid shit they did because he ran it so quick because he was told, don't let him do that. First night back with all these crowds, let him do it. Like I don't understand. Like if I was Greg Hamilton, I would have ad-libbed that. I would have been like, you know what? I'm going to let him go. I'm going to take that breath so they could say one fall.
It's better to get back into it. and exactly. get ask for forgiveness
than to do it and you know
and what was it ask and then be not you know,
yeah denied about
scolded
it.
Yeah,
so like you know like I saw that like the crowd's back, they want to say one fall after that, and he just went, you know what I mean, like I don't know, it's just if that was me in my boots, I would have gave that to them. I would have gave them even just for the first fucking match.
What's said sad it, what's know? Really sad, Mikey, is you know who got the biggest pop that night?
Michael
Vince, Vince McMahon.
Oh, Vince McMahon. No, and it's not even a pop thing for the following contest is scheduled for one fall. It's just that's a thing that they used to do, and then the people in the back said, "Stop it! That takes up too much time," or whatever fucking Bruce Pritchard wanted to say. Oh, it's not about you, or whatever the fuck it was. Like, it's not about the fans. That's what it is. Even though, oh, we love the fans, but oh, what is it? Is this sing along? We don't want to hear their voice. That's that shit. When they do that shit and they say, oh, you know, get them to stop doing that. But okay. But then like the what chance, I get it. Those are annoying.
Very annoying.
But like you said, if you could get somebody there that says the what, and you could be like witty with the remarks of it, then like, you know, you can catch the crowd off guard and that kind of shuts them up. Exactly. So I don't know. That's just the way I think about that type of situation. I don't know how we went from the way the crowd acts to the back first news, which was CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Maybe it was the charisma. I can't remember.
I think it was just because of how wrestling is nowadays. Now.
Right. I think
something
that's
like that was like the those hole guys. We went down. Yeah. Those guys could grab and captivate an audience, and that's what I think AEW
that's
is
right.
going to have
talking
over
about
them.
That. We're going to have two wrestlers for sure, and now, you know, you could even have like Tony Khan come out and just make a joke and be like, "See, I told you he had a big surprise. It was a little late, but here's the big surprise." I know it'd be shitting on Christian's thing, but like, right? Like Christian, Big Show, Mark Henry, you know, like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, meh. Like yeah, more of a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Huge deal.
Exactly. Like, you know, and I know Big Show's bigger. I know Mark Henry's bigger, but they're just physically bigger. They're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can say Big Show now.
Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Good for them. But like you got people that were either done with the wrestling business. I never thought we'd see CM Punk come back.
Me neither.
I thought he was done. I thought what they had said and what they did, he just got a bad taste in his mouth with wrestling, and he was like, I'm done. And Daniel Bryan, I thought, you know what? I thought he's done. He's healthy. Maybe he wants to spend time with his kids and his wife. I just thought, like, he could just ride off in the sunset. But you know what? Good for him for thinking that is – that he's got a couple more years left in him because he is healthy.
He does.
And they he can – maybe he could show the wrestlers there – not, you know, how to maybe take less devastating dives or things like that. Or he doesn't even have to if he doesn't want to.
The thing with Daniel Bryan, which I know from what I just interviews when I see from him talking to other guys, he kind of seems like the guy that busts a lot. But the thing with CM Punk that I saw in his documentary is when he's not wrestling, he's shown the other guys how to do it, like, very, very well in the ring. Like, he's kind of a mentor.
He's a good coach, yeah.
So I think he's going to be – just having those two guys there is going to elevate AEW like crazy. The thing is, what's funny too, I was thinking it, and then I saw a meme online, and I laughed my ass off. But I was like, this is like Nash and Hall going to WCW with these two. And then somebody made a meme of them on Hall and Nash's body, and they said, who's the third man? And they had Brock Lesnar's face over Hogan.
Oh my god.
I was like, oh, can you imagine?
That's a giant that would be a giant kick in the nuts then for WWE, but that could be the even the bigger spark. But I don't think CM Punk would let that happen. That's the only thing.
Oh, why? It's not his company.
It's not that it's not his company, it's just that there were conversations that I remember WWE having with him that like, oh, you know, CM Punk, you can't do basically what Brock Lesnar ended up doing. So I don't know how. I guess that's WWE versus CM Punk, not so much CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. So,
oh,
yeah,
agreed.
I guess you're right.
How but, crazy, though. Oh, my
man,
God.
That would be even crazier. And then, like, you just where do you go? Like, that's why you watch wrestling. Yes, we like the sweaty men in their tighty whities wrestling, you know, touching
each
other.
That's all I watch it for.
But I mean, I remember like back then when you used to watch Raw or WCW, there was an element, and the element was surprise. AEW is knocking it out of the park with the surprises. Regardless of your tier of surprises, you're still getting different people showing up. You're getting these new deals and these signings. Like, that's what I remember watching wrestling being like, ooh, oh my God, who's that? You know what I mean? Like, that type of shit.
Who's the guy in the mask? Oh, holy shit, it's so-and-so. It's DDP.
But now, like, getting back to your thing, where you say they should have just waited for this pay-per-view to bring Daniel Bryan and CM Punk in. I see it on the company's way of advertising for those guys just so that they get more eyes on the product. Exactly. Because if they're only getting 800,000 views and they then CM Punk and Daniel Bryan show up, oh man, their stock kind of flummits because of that. If they could say, hey, we do have these people coming, but now you don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you know, you're getting eyes there. They could get millions easily. You know what I mean? Which I could see that it being very smart for AEW just to advertise that they got these deals in. I think what we like the best, and I don't think they're ever going to not do, is I personally don't want to be so privy to all the backstage shit. Like, that goes back to your whole thing with them having their own Twitters and things like that. If it kind of hurts a storyline that they might be in. Like, if these guys legitimately hate each other and you're trying to sell that on television, don't make a YouTube video where they're baking with each other and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That kind of hurts it. You know what I mean? That kind of hurts the quote-unquote chemistry that they might be having. You know what I mean?
Right. And another thing too, Mikey, and I think our viewers and our listeners also are big fans of, they're also big fan of our surprises, which is also a word from our sponsors.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of an ice cold Loco coffee. I always have one before I record wrestling or whatever because it's that damn good. Start feeling good about your daily coffee consumption. Loco coffee delivers benefits that go above and beyond the average cold brew coffee and is geared towards fueling your active lifestyle with all natural, no BS ingredients, and zero added sugar. The added coconut water and maple water provides electrolytes and antioxidants for an enhanced, clean coffee experience. This is the perfect pre- and post-workout drink. Don't forget to use our promo code WRESTLINGWE for 10% off of your next order off of any Loco coffee you purchase on lococoffee.com.
Whatever. Welcome back. Welcome back, Cotter, to an illustrious episode of Wrestling Whatever. That was a word from our sponsors, Loco Coffee, where you can use our code WrestlingWE for 10% off of your order. Also, feel free to use our code on BoostedShades.com as well for 15% off WrestlingWE at checkout. And Twins, Basil, Twins.
Twins indeed. Yeah, you know, we were talking about the shocking moments and what we haven't been getting in wrestling as of late. Shocking moments, but WWE tried to give us a shocking moment. ASA.
ASS.
Nikki Cross cash in on Charlotte Flair. Now that is huge, but using this gimmick, I mean, like, Nikki Cross, I think you were saying this before we started talking on the air, like, she had one of the best gimmicks, you know.
She did. She was a crazy. She was like a mixture of George the Animal Steel and Sabu.
Right.
It was. She gave you that element where this chick's crazy, biting ropes and jumping on people, jumping on big dudes.
And not to the point where she was massively big. She's not like overpowered. Like, you look at her and you go, ooh, she's scary. But like, you back her into a corner, she's liable, just from looking at her, to bite your freaking ear off or something, you know?
Yeah. Mike Tyson.
Exactly. Like, the crazy, not like this goofy, like, you know, weird type of crazy that Alexa Bliss is now. like demonic, quote unquote. Like if you went and saw her, you know, you'd probably want to run away because you'd be afraid that Chris Hansen would be coming at you saying, why don't you have a seat?
Oh, Stacey.
But like, you know what I mean? Like Nikki Cross was the believable psychopath. And I really enjoyed that. And you said too, just her story of her upbringing was like amazing.
Yeah. She was just this chick from, I think it was Belfast, mm-hmm. or she's from Scotland. And she made her way up the scene and, you know, going to NXT. She met her husband, Killian Dane. She met him before NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just her whole factor of, like, I get WWE tries to give people new roles and to recreate themselves. But, guys, you don't have to recreate Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is just an animal that we want to see 24/7. She's not like I know they're trying to do stuff like what they did with The Rock and they did with Stone Cold when they repackaged those guys and they went on to be like superstars. They are superstars.
But this Nikki Cross, it should have been the other way around. Like they shouldn't have gave her this shitty gimmick now. They should have kept, like, they should have did this like maybe as soon as she came up. And then, like, I don't know. Like, yes, she was in NXT. Yes, there was a lot of shit with her when she was like that. But 9 times out of 10, no offense to NXT, you could have had this character come back and be this crazy psychopath, and it would have been fresh eyes.
Yeah, and a reverse factor, it would have been money.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what WWE does. It seems like when they used to go forwards from going backwards, they're going forwards and then backwards to something that no one wants to watch.
Again, this should have been maybe the first character she had even coming up in NXT.
Yeah.
And then then you could have gotten the psychopath out of her and all this stuff. Like this is taking away from a really gifted wrestler too. Like she knows her shit.
She does.
When they throw that stuff onto them, it just makes them look stupid, and then it makes the fan think, "Well, they're just stupid." And it's like, "No, they're not. They're really smart." Like you think of some of the people, like you said, like, you know, Disco Inferno. Yeah, like the gimmick got what it got, but the man behind Disco Inferno was pretty freaking smart when it came to like the wrestling ins and outs of the system.
Yep.
Dusty Rhodes, Alex Wright. You know, Dusty Rhodes. Alex Wright. Yeah,
absolutely. What does WWE do to a fucking legend like Dusty Rhodes? Put polka dots on him.
Yeah.
Give him sapphire, even though she was sweet as pie.
She was sweet as pie.
But like he still made it work, though. But that's the thing with these wrestlers. You can see she's trying to make it work. But, man.
It's not working.
The only way that this comes out right is that you give her this gimmick right now. She won the title. She cashed in Money in the Bank. Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, that was the surprise.
That was the surprise. She cashed in, and the surprise was she even won the fucking match. But
I thought she would have also been that statistic where they like, oh, cashed in, didn't work, because it didn't make any sense to kind of go off on a little tangent. The big surprise, the coolest match, I thought, I enjoyed it because it was so WWE, was that men's Money in the Bank that they had, where they had to get to the roof of the fucking building. Like, I thought that shit was just, it was campy, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's WWE, so like, it's different, you know what I mean?
Right.
But then you have Otis win that, and then Otis loses it. It's like you could have had Otis go somewhere with it.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even have a chance to cash it in and lose it. Like he just didn't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But like with Nikki Cross, at least like she won the Money in the Bank match. Believable fashion, Jay Glow, question mark?
Nah.
Right. But then, you know, cash it in on Charlotte when, like, listen, she was already down when they were like, get up, get up, get up towards the end of that thing. She should have just did a springboard off the rope onto her and did 1, 2, 3. Not this get up, 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 get up. I swear to God, she said it like 10 times before Charlotte got up.
Flying crossbody.
Right. And 1, 2, 3. Like, other than that, like, do something different. You're a superhero. Jump off that fucking top rope. Like, do a springboard. Splash.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
Something that could have been like, oh wow, that was a new move, even if she never did it again. Not fucking crossbody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, make it be believable that she is getting these superhero powers then. Make me believe the gimmick that move was like kryptonite to Charlotte Flair in some way.
Right.
But whatever. It is what it is. And I'm so happy because like it's somebody that we haven't seen do something, right?
Right. Right,
but it's just such a shitty
Just a shitty character. Gimmick.
Yeah.
So, but one thing I could say that would make this all make sense is if you give her this superhero type of gimmick, she loses the belt, she tries to keep going for it, and then she turns around and says, you know, fuck this gimmick, and like not say that on live television. Right.
It's just, it's not going for me anymore.
Take the mask off and be like, I need to be who I really was or something, and then turn that off and then have her come back out with her Nikki Cross gimmick, wet, dirty looking hair, going out there and just absolutely crushing people. No more smiling, Nikki, no more of this. Like, go back to your, like, anyone who I thought could beat Shayna Baszler in NXT, I thought it would have been Nikki Cross because
of
how crazy and how like gritty she was.
Because it was a character, but it was a believable character. Believable. It was so much more realistic, crazy, and not goofy, like spiritual. I mean, and again, Undertaker did it, but the Undertaker, like, his character evolved. Like, I mean, like, it got like,
went from badass to okay, this is badass too.
Right. You know, like, I feel like this character, Nikki Cross, just goes stale really quick because it doesn't have the person behind it that, she's trying, but does she believe it? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's just one of those things where, like, the moment I knew when they really didn't know what to do with Nikki Cross was when she lost that whole, like, her entrance theme, right? Where it's, like, crazy and all that shit. It could have still been Sanity.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're not there anymore. So you just play that music still. And then, like, they change it to some generic fucking white chick music country. Like, it could have been Mickey James's entrance music. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like she could have still been the – they could have still went in a way with her where she could have been the – I'm trying to think of that type of awkward kid. Not awkward kid. But, like, you know, like, from Beetlejuice, like, the outcast. Or right. Like Daria, like the outcast. Like, it could have went that way, but instead,
like, grungy.
Went, exactly. But instead she went like, I'm a mom, maybe, you know, like, I like, this is the music I listen to in my car when I'm carpooling. It's like,
making my way downtown, exactly. Walking fast.
It's like, no, that's not Nikki Cross. Like, you fucking really missed this character, creative or producers. I don't know. It wasn't Nikki Cross, because all Nikki Cross did is, I want to keep this job. I'm really good in the ring. Okay, I'll try this. That's all she's done wrong was that.
Do you know why she's doing this gimmick, Mike? Can you give like one guess why?
If it's because they let Killian Dane go and they're doing the same thing they did to her, like Lana with Rusev, is that what you're thinking?
No, I read a report why who made this character and who absolutely loves it.
Oh God.
Vinnie Mac.
Oh my God.
Vinnie Mac thought this would be great for her because it's totally different than what she did. And he's in love with the whole character. So that's another reason why she won Money in the Bank.
Where is he? What plane is Vinnie Mac on? If this was the Vinnie Mac of 98, he would have looked at that gimmick going,
nah. That's dog shit.
Someone's got to check Mr. McMahon into a hospital for dementia. Yeah. Because something's going on with the man. Like,
where the hell have you been?
Exactly. Like, that's where the hell have you been, Vince?
Yeah,
like,
Vince, where the fuck have you been? What is this? Your creative is like the creative of a demented, a 70s, 80 year old man with dementia.
Yeah.
And anxiety.
Yeah.
This isn't what we like. No one likes this. And you know, Mikey, this isn't even peeling back the curtain. This is just straightforward. I read comment sections on wrestling pages like as if it's a fucking story.
Yeah.
And the amount of people, if they're going based off of what social media says and their comments, which I think is a good majority of why they make the decisions they do, the fucking people that are commenting on this, they're more brain dead than anything. I see people say, oh, I love this gimmick. All right. I love Nikki A.S.H. She's so influential. Shut the fuck up. Another thing too, Mikey, maybe we could transition off of this god-awful story because I miss Nikki Cross. I hate Nikki A.S.H.
Okay.
Nikki A.S.H. is, like you said, Nikki A.S.S.
Nikki A.S.
But Baron Corbin's character right now is slowly but surely going to take over any other storyline in wrestling because it's unique,
mm-hmm.
it's believable, and it's more importantly, relatable. I'm not sure if you're following what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I'm really surprised you have, but that's awesome.
Dude, they could do so much with this right now.
Yeah.
It's different. He's making the most of his time on camera. Exactly. It's why another reason why I think Vince does like Baron from what I've read. But I've read the comment sections on this video I watched of Baron Corbin being interviewed backstage, which is a backstage interview that actually is entertaining and works, and they're doing it right for once. But they interview him. He's sitting on the floor. He's like when me and you peel them back the curtain here a little bit. When me and Mikey here play a game called Grand Theft Auto, you walk into it's called the Diamond Casino and Resort. And as you walk in, there's a guy sitting next to the door that looks like he's lost everything. His hands are in his head. He's sitting there like, oh my God, I lost it all type of thing. That's Baron Corbin right there. Baron Corbin, they're finding him sitting on the side somewhere where he's lost it all, more along the lines. He goes into detail of what he's lost. It's believable and relatable for some. And he's just going with it, asking people for money. And he's going so in depth with this character, which I love too. He's letting his hair grow out. He's balding.
Yeah, he's got the nice Paul Heyman horseshoe bald thing going on. Yeah.
He looks like Gil from The Simpsons.
Yes.
And
he's going to be
live action Gil. He's live action Gil. And the thing with Corbin, like that, as me and you, I think, mm-hmm. are more along the lines and so in tune with each other. With what we like in wrestling, which I know a lot of the other fans are too, the comment sections on these fucking videos make me sick.
Mm.
The people, the inbreds, the gangsters, and the people that want to see more, you know, Street Profits and Nikki ASH. I mean, it's like 40 to 60 that you would see on there, like 40% of people that want to see what's going on. That we see now that we hate, opposed to the 60% of the people that are like, oh man, this gimmick, this thing, I don't care. I don't like Baron Corbin as a wrestler, blah, blah, blah. But man, he's really selling this. And I love this. This is the best thing going today. And I agree with the 60% version, but something's telling me that they are only captivating those 40% people. And they're listening to them. It feels like, because it's not what we like. And yeah, I know I might like something, you might not like it, and vice versa. But if you're a wrestling fan and you've watched and lived, slept, eat, and breathed wrestling like we do, and as avid fans do, this Baron Corbin gimmick, this could go somewhere. And I it's a storyline that I could follow and enjoy and laugh and be like, oh shit, man, he's really going to do it to me. I appreciate what he's doing with this gimmick. Growing his hair out, looking like he's literally lost everything. He literally looks like Gil from The Simpsons. So it's just like, if they could keep going with this and make it work, I want to see more of this and less Riddle on a fucking scooter.
Yeah, and you know, and just to give the audience an idea of how we're not always sucking each other off, because there are things that you like that I don't like, and things that I like that you don't like, we could do this real quick, just make a little segment here called What He May Like, I May Not Like. If we had some music play, we'd play right now.
Boop, 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 boop. What you like, bop, bop, bop. What you don't fucking like, bop, bop, bop. Beep, bop, beep, boop.
And we're going to do this right now. I just thought of it off the top of my head because you're talking about it. It doesn't have to be wrestling related. We could do this with actors. Actors, I'm going to say you like that I don't like. One of them. The only reason I like this actor is for one thing that you would not watch in a million years, but you've watched the actor and you probably like him in his movies. I'm going to say Steve Carell. And I'm going to say Steve Carell that I don't like him, because the majority of the movies he puts on, I think are shit. Moneyball, I didn't fucking get it. Or no, was he in Moneyball? Yeah.
No.
Was him. No?
The Big Short.
Big Short, I didn't fucking get it. I don't know what that's
love
about.
Love that movie.
See? But I loved The Office.
Ugh.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So we're not sucking each other off.
See, like that. Now let's do it again. Let's.
But can we suck each other off?
I mean, maybe after. one thing, show, idea that you know you like that I won't like.
like one TV show idea?
Again, I did actors. I was trying to transition off of wrestling. So if you want to go back to wrestling, we could do wrestling. If you think of something else.
Well, a wrestler I like that I love that you don't like is Kenny Omega. You hate him.
Right.
And I like the Young Bucks, and you don't like the Young Bucks, God. As you would say. But a show that I think I would like that or if we're talking about anything that I like that you don't like, I'm not a big fan of Station Wagons, and you love them. But
you said shows. What about shows?
Oh, shows?
Cars. You don't know anything about Cars. I know a little bit more than you do about Cars.
Yeah. Damn, that's good. I'm trying to think. Think of a show. Really like a lot of
show
like,
or an actor. You know.
So here's an actor that I like that I know you probably don't like. Will Ferrell.
There we go. Look at that.
Look at that.
You're absolutely correct. Again. We're not sucking. This isn't an echo chamber that you would get on a CNN or a Fox News or a comment section from a CNN or a Fox News.
Or wait, hold on. We can still talk to each other, though. And exactly. We can still find something. It's like people with politics. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a Democrat. You're a Republican. Oh, I hate you. Oh, please save me from my burning car. Wait, who did you vote for? Wait, I remember you posting this stuff on the Facebooks.
I voted for Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff, that scumbag son of a bitch.
But like, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that, and I hope a lot of our listeners at home aren't in that quote unquote echo chamber, because it could fuck with you, because you think you're all high and mighty and you think your way is the only way, the superior way, the ultimate way. And in reality, you want to kind of take a step back and just kind of listen to the other person's opinions. Now, you don't have to jump down their throat and be like, you're fucking wrong. Get the fuck off the stage.
And it seems like the majority of the people on social media
do that. Exactly.
And that's another thing, Mikey. No one ever wants to be wrong. No one ever wants to be told something and then they'd be like, well, you know, I can appreciate your opinion. I don't agree with it, but I'm listening. I'm listening to your opinion. And, you know, I respect your opinion. No, doesn't happen.
No. But it's just so funny because it feels like it gets into a situation when we do discuss wrestling that we are just coming off the same brain. Yeah. But I just want to let our listeners know that I think we're far enough on either end of the spectrum that like we just enjoy good content.
Yeah.
A lot of it, until things change, a lot of it's just shitty content with wrestling. You know what I mean? Like this like just shit where we could both agree that we don't like something. It's crazy, but it's where a fully functioning adult could have a thought where maybe your fucking creative's fucked up. You know what I mean?
Like, hey, here's another thing too. I just thought for about. It. Sorry to cut you off. I respectively will interject here. See, we're respectfully doing it. I know you're probably a big fan of Shaun of the Dead. You love Shaun of the Dead. Me, not so much of a fan. Trying to think of some other things too.
Do you like zombie movies? Are there some zombie films that you could? Okay.
Walking Dead. You weren't a fan of that show. I loved watching it.
Stopped watching it after a certain couple seasons, but I was watching it. You know, I think that was all right. I'm gonna probably try to catch the last season just because I know a lot of shit's probably changed. But
oh yeah, probably.
You're on for I think were they like 20 seasons?
Something like that.
That's nuts for a television show to be that.
Who? I mean, did you like the Fast and Furious movies? That's where we could agree. I'm not a fan. Yeah.
No, I went and I saw them, but like you get convoluted. You get from the first movie, which is basically them being street racers, and it's over like the counterfeit or stolen DVD players. Like that's the original movie. So now they're like a bunch of car guys trying to save the world. Like, I don't believe it.
I'm okay.
But exactly. No, nothing. As a Jay Glow would say, no thanks.
No thanks.
Exactly. That's how you would say it too. But no, it's just like interesting. I just want to kind of open up our audience to certain things that we're not all just, you know, Humpty Dory agreeing with each other. It's just so weird that with wrestling, we're on the same page.
Always. We always have been.
And we just have the same brain length of like what they could be doing with a certain person. And it's not that we hate the product. It's just that there's so much more potential with, say, a Nikki Cross or say what they're doing over in AEW when they bring all these people in, like, yes, this is great, I love the surprise, but what are you going to do with them? And that goes back to our first question from the opening of this episode, to bring it completely circle full. What do you think they're going to do with these guys, J-Glo? We have Daniel Bryan. We have CM Punk. We talked a little bit about CM Punk, but let's end this on a Daniel Bryan. What do you do with Daniel Bryan with a roster that is full of people that are willing to learn and want to, like, just do a wrestling promotion where it isn't quote unquote corporate, if you will, if that's the issue.
I have an idea, Mikey.
Go for it.
Let me know if you agree or disagree.
Surprise me.
I think you might actually agree on this one. So, Daniel Bryan, first off, CM Punk, we know we're getting with Punk. We know we're getting his style, his look, everything. I think I know Daniel Bryan needs to do to kind of put himself over more than CM Punk's return, because CM Punk's return is going to blow everything else out of the water.
Yep.
Absolutely. Daniel Bryan needs to come back with a brand new fucking spanking look. Ooh. I'm talking no beard, no hair. Fuck, maybe put some shit in your eyes. Like, put different contact lenses in. Don't go for a satanic gimmick, but go for something. We know who Daniel Bryan is. We know who the American Dragon is. Maybe to have him something different, have him come back. Don't wrestle in tights. Wrestle in something different. Have him look completely almost different where it's not Daniel Bryan, but we know who he is. And if we're going to go through that route, maybe have him break out of that at some point. Maybe have him, because there's got to be some sort of longevity with these gentlemen in AEW. CM Punk hasn't wrestled in a long time, has been in the UFC, has failed horribly at UFC, respectfully. But we know we're going to get with CM Punk when he comes back. It's going to be the cult of personality. He's going to be just over like Rova. But Daniel Bryan, I feel like, yeah, the American Dragon was an absolute fantastic gimmick when he was in the indies and he came out and he was doing his thing. Everyone respected that. Everyone now, if they don't go with this different look, have him go with something that we're not going to see WWE Daniel Bryan with. Like how Scott Hall came in with a jean jacket and pants and Canadian tuxedo, interrupted, did all this different types of stuff. Then he didn't have his Razor Ramon gimmick. He had Scott Hall. He had the blood dripping, you know, pants and all this different types of shit, his tights. Have maybe Daniel Bryan come out, have his old Ring of Honor type of gimmick where he would work with the fans and feed off of them and bounce stuff off of them and get over that way. Cause you know, that's what people are going to want. They're not going to want yes. And if the crowd chants yes there, I'm going to be really pissed. But they're going to. But have something where Daniel Bryan, he's going to have to recreate himself, his persona, and everything that comes along with it. And I think he's going to do that successfully. What do I think they do with him? I think he might be a surprise entrant in some sort of a match. He might come and I think maybe he goes mid-card there. I think he fights with somebody like a Christian Cage or maybe Hangman Page, something Page.
They can't, they cannot be both of these guys that come in. They can't be mid card. They shouldn't even be seen fighting the Dark Order or anything like that. They should just be taken. And your main event, you're going against like Kenny Omega, you know, Hangman. I thought Hangman was up there a little bit more, but I guess he's not.
Well, they're not using him right now because Kenny Omega's so over and everything's going on.
Who's up there with Kenny Omega? Who's up there with him?
Shit. I mean, what are they doing with Kenny Omega right now? I unfortunately, and then, I hate myself, I haven't been watching the AEW shows because I'm so busy. But
if they did this, that's their fault for doing this. If they made Kenny Omega, and they probably didn't because, again, we haven't caught it. We haven't been watching too much of the product. We haven't been keeping up on that side. But if people unfortunately see Kenny Omega up there on that top echelon, and everybody in AEW is pretty much just like a talent from Impact, then they did something wrong, because there should be a couple more top tier people there unless that's what CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are supposed to be, then great. But then you only have three top tier. Like, that's the only issue. I know that Jungle Boy had that little run there, but again, I think Jungle Boy was still mid card. Oh, you know, below. And I think they're trying to get him over, but I think they missed the mark there just because they have to get the Kenny Omega gimmick over and they're hurting everybody else there. If that's the case, then they kind of ran into an issue because you can't, I mean, unless you wanted to, you can't just throw this guy up there and be like, you know, this is the only top tier guy. Everybody else is untouchable up to him. I get it. But it can't be a pyramid. It has to be more than one person up there.
Right. Hopefully John is. Moxley too.
Moxley. Okay. I'm glad you said Moxley. Cause then if you're saying Moxley, I would have said if he was still alive, I was going to say Husky Harris, but not Husky Harris. The dude that came over who was the leader of the Dark Order.
Brody Lee.
Brody. I thought he was kind of up there. Unfortunately, I don't see Christian is there being up there, and I don't see Matt Hardy being up there.
No.
Unless they're supposed to be, then they missed the mark on that.
Right.
Any of Taz's guys, you think? MJF. Just MJF.
Jericho.
Well,
one thing I want to note here really quick is Chris Jericho is actually about to have some sort of a death match. I'm not sure if it is a death match, but the guy, Nick Gage, from the Dark Side of the Ring episode, they just did one on him. He's like the deathmatch king. Mm-hmm. And he's been, you know, he just had a match with Matt Cardona, a.k.a. Zack Ryder. Right. That storyline in itself got major waves in the pro wrestling community and whatnot. So
right.
I just watched that match yesterday. I didn't get to catch it Saturday. But I know a guy personally who was at the show, and him and his buddy were there, and somebody recorded a lot of the things that were going on. And Matt Cardona, man, he's hated by that whole GCW like deathmatch loving crowd, where he's got a lot of heat right now. And that's not a lot of heat you see nowadays. So Nick Gage has such a following that I think he's like, I'm not sure if he's signed with AEW or if he's going to be there a lot, but it's going to be interesting seeing a guy like Nick Gage, who may potentially be a top guy in AEW, which is really strong to say that, but I think he's going to get implemented in there somehow. That AEW, I hope to God that they don't turn into a jungle, but I'm seeing WCW like moves with these guys,
okay,
but not too bad to the point where we're like, oh, okay, throw an NWO shirt on them. Like the Pinnacles where they're at, there they got their base guys. The Inner Circle's there, they got their guys. They're still hating each other and going at it. It's a thing where I think soon Mikey, MJF and Kenny Omega will be going at it.
Right.
I need to really watch the last episode so I can get caught up, but Kenny Omega's still the guy. I'm glad that he is, because he is a main eventer. But I think you're going to see the belt on him for months and months to come. When CM Punk comes in, ooh, that's going to be must see TV, must see streaming or whatever you're doing. So,
yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I guess we could leave our fans on that note, because wrestling is picking up, and we are gonna call it. Is there anything else you want to promote before we get off?
Oh, just anyone that would want to check us out. We're on, so actually crazy. We've been getting a lot of following on our Facebook from different people all over the world. So we've been getting a lot of new people joining up and putting their input in. So we're always more than welcome to have you guys join up and getting and joining on the fun of the BSing and the camaraderie that we have on our Wrestling and Whatever page on Facebook, which is at Wrestling and Whatever. You just type in Wrestling and Whatever, we're the first page that pops up. Also, feel free to hit us up on Twitter at Wrestling and WE. I know Mr. Mikey here is very to be honest, Mikey, I think you run that more than anything. So I thank you for that.
No, I try to. I just like to engage with our fans and stuff through Twitter. Yeah. I know you got the numbers up But I just like to, if I'm making any wrestling comments, I'd be sure to use that to just kind of go through, just absolutely, so people acknowledge us, if you will.
Yeah.
With that type of stuff. But yeah, and again,
Roman Reign plug.
Exactly. Again, you could catch us at our individual Twitters as well. I'm at M Dangerously, and Jay Glow. You're at Jay Glow.
No, I'm at Johnny Glow with two W's.
Oh, Johnny.
But one thing I also want to add for our listeners, thank you for listening and tuning in since we started this a little over a year ago. We are officially over 2,000 listeners, which doesn't sound like a lot, but from a bunch of nobodies here that just love wrestling, and it seems like a lot of other people tune in and agree and respectfully disagree with some things we say, we thank you. We don't do this because we get paid to do it. We do this because we love to do it. We love to talk about wrestling. We love to bounce ideas off each other. And what is so funny, Michael, on the episode with this, so many things come to fruition when me and you talk. And me and you, and we miss Ben dearly. So,
yes,
Ben,
yes,
if you're listening, he'll be back hopefully soon. I know he's got some stuff he's taking care of right now, but we'll be back to hopefully.
We're holding down the fort for the man while he's away dealing with some personal businesses. But, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's great. If there was something else you were going to say, go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny how we all bounce ideas off each other, and it seems like wrestling promotions listen to us. More so WWE, because I'll end the episode on this note. Previous episodes ago, me and you were talking about the whole Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, how she always reminded me of that Diesel gimmick because she was the big one. Dakota was the smaller, more like, ooh, look at me, like the HBK type of thing.
Right.
And just on NXT tonight, and we're gonna date this episode to was it the 28th of July? NXT's episode tonight, I want to say it ended with Dakota Kai turning her back on Raquel Gonzalez and beating her up and holding the NXT title. Great. That's what the women's division needs. Yeah. And we'll end the note on that. That is something that we had mentioned episodes ago, that's something that needs to happen for this to keep going because of how good the story is. And by God, have they not done it.
So. Well, for Jay Glow, I'm Mikey Dangerously telling y'all to take it easy, take it sleazy. See you next time.